preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Goliaths in your life who have beat you down? Who are the Goliaths out in the field who are trashing you, who are discouraging you? You need to step up for the battle. You need to be a David. Take some stones, go out and defeat all the Goliaths in your life, for that is God's will for you. And I want to say you've messed up the entire passage if you have preached it or you have heard it preached that way. Today on Abounding Grace, we're looking at this great text of David facing Goliath. What is the message for us? What is the Lord teaching us through this? Who do we really see here? And how could we ever have been so narcissistic to make this all about us? This passage is about a great champion that God has sent to beat the great wicked kingdom of Satan and of darkness that has risen up against us. We're going to look at all this today on Abounding Grace Radio from 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're thankful that you've taken time to tune into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio, Twitter at AGRadio1, Instagram. On that website, there's a way to support us. Keep in mind, we are airing throughout the continent of Africa, U.S., Canada, in many places, and your help helps us to continue to take the gospel out to the ends of the earth. So we are so grateful when you do that, and all of it is used for broadcast airing and to take the gospel out. Here is now the message from 1 Samuel chapter 17, which I have titled Introducing Two Champions. This is part one. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Obviously, one of the most frustrating things about the Christian life is that God doesn't seem to show himself very strong in this world. It really doesn't seem to be that God shows himself very powerful. All around us is strength, it seems. All around us is people who, with the most pomp and the most flex, and those who can run the mouth the greatest, think about this, whatever leader runs his mouth with the greatest, most powerful words, and who can create a perception of real strength in this world that cannot be touched. Naturally, that's what we gravitate to. Naturally, that's who we want. What frustrates us often is that we belong to, people would think, a religion, a God, who doesn't seem to showcase much strength at all in this world. He really doesn't seem to showcase much strength at all in this world. And because of that, we always seem to experience and feel like we're simply on the losing team and we're on the losing side, and that we always have to take the hits and just put up with defeat. I think that's a real experience of us and something that we constantly struggle with, especially living in our day as Christians with so much opposition. Why does being a Christian feel like we are always on the losing side of things? Really, why does it? When there's so much opposition that seems to win, so much opposition that seems to prevail. And you ask the question this morning, is that really the truth of things? Why doesn't God seem to show himself very strong in this world? Or is the issue, we have been trained to look at strength all wrongly? Is that really the issue? Because we look at strength all wrongly, we then look for answers in all the wrong places. Think about it. The result is that we are often, because we're looking for answers in all the wrong places, discouraged, fearful, defeated, living a life effectually full of fear and anxiety all the time. That's all evidence of looking for strength in all the wrong places. This is why the scripture is constantly setting before us great contrast. It's helping us with this. It's helping us to see things as the kingdom of God works and his champion, as set next to the kingdom of Satan and his champion. And our way requires faith. Theirs doesn't. And this is why studying the story of David and Goliath is so magnificent. This is just wonderful. It's a grand story. Every line is so beautifully constructed. And I'm going to spend the next few weeks to show you that, hopefully, and to see exactly what Samuel is showing us and why this is so important that we never forget this in this life. Never forget what is here presented. And I think you'll see that this morning as we have this opened up for us with two champions who are essentially being introduced in this first part. The message here is vitally important for the church today. The message in 1 Samuel 17 is vitally important for us. We see the clash of kings and kingdoms, and everything the Lord is teaching us in the gospel of where his deliverance and where true strength is found, and the response that he's after. The Lord introduces us today to these champions, and on all accounts, everything about one is the one that we like. Everything looking at one is everything that we want. Everything looking at Goliath is that which mesmerizes us. And I want to say this to you in response to that. A remarkable irony will be shown to you today. It is what we desire most that turns against us. It is what where we think the answers are and in who we think we can find deliverance that the greatest amount of fear and letdown will happen in this life. Who are we looking to is what we're challenged here today. And the Lord is saying to us, I want you to take a very close look at a champion of a different sort. I want you to look and see where I want your trust to be and all your strength that you indeed do need for the victory. And that's what we're going to consider today as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. The stage is set now for the showdown of all showdowns in the scriptures. I mean it. I don't think, aside from obviously the cross, in terms of looking at it throughout the Old Testament, here is the greatest showdown that is presented to us in the Old Testament. As we open up chapter 17, you have it presented, and you can picture this in your minds. Here on two mountains are two armies. The Philistines have gathered with all of their armies for battle. Israel has done the same, and in the middle is the large valley of Elah that lies between them, a place we know today and have found today. The Philistines stood on one side of the mountain, on one side. Israel stood on the other side, and with this valley between them, and now notice what's presented to you. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. This is absolutely fun to preach. I want you to know that. This is so much fun. This gladiator monster walks out on the field. Boys and girls, I want you to think about this with me for a moment. This monster, the Philistines, as one pastor said, latest military innovation is brought out. And he stands out there. Samuel wants us awestruck. I mean, this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to stand there today, listen to this, put it in your heads and say, wow, this guy is awesome. In the history of all warfare, in the history of sheer intimidation that can be done in warfare, there is no figure ever since this figure that has ever risen up that is more physically impressive and more physically powerful than Goliath from Gath. No one. This is it. This is as good as it gets in this life for a war figure. Everything that attracts us to sort of rugged masculinity, right? He didn't use a Gillette. Boys and girls, he was 6 cubits and a span, 9'6". I want you to go out and stand on that basketball hoop today. You know, the basketball hoop to the ground is 10 foot. He's right about there. That's how impressive this man was. From head to toe, he's covered in armor. You have the weight recorded, 5,000 shekels. That's about 130 pounds of just armor on this man. With a spear so long, it has a 16-pound iron head on the end. He's a monster. The tallest man we have on record is 8'9". I think today the tallest man is 8'6" in the world. I think he might be in Indiana. His bicep was bigger than all of our torsos. The hair on his chest was a piece of armor. Have I built this up enough? The sheer effect of this is simply, wow! And then comes the voice that bellows out over the plain. He shouts and he makes an offer. He stood out to the ranks of Israel. He stands out on the middle of the field. He kicks up dust, I'm sure. Have you come up to draw for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me right now. And I'll tell you what, if he is able to fight me, and if he is able to kill me, then we will be your servants. It's over at that point. That's what I'll make is the deal. If someone can take me out, we become your servants forever. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be servants and serve us. And then the Philistine probably spits a little bit and says, I defy the ranks of Israel. I defy the living God of Israel. Give me a man and we might fight. Now you have to stop for a moment after you read all this and see the irony in this. There's a ton of irony in this book. The irony is this. When Israel asked for a king, remember? Would you give us a king just like all the other nations who will ride out in front of us and fight all our battles? Remember that? Give us somebody who's just like Goliath. Give us somebody physically strong. And give us somebody who can do it. On all accounts, Israel got their dream king. He was probably 7 foot. Remember, he was the tallest man in Israel. The text built that up, that there was nobody taller than Saul in Israel. And not only was he tall, he was handsome, he was everything you could have ever wanted about a physical presence of a leader that could compete with the nations and could compete with the Philistines. It was interesting that in the last chapter, when Samuel confronted Saul, there was something that has sort of reverberated through this whole book and continued to be pressed on us in the book. After the Lord had told Samuel to go pick a king, after he had rejected Saul, you'll remember that all these sons passed by Samuel. And Samuel, the first thing he did when he looked at the first one, wow! Remember? That's got to be the one. And the Lord rebuked Samuel. And Samuel said, I don't want you looking at his appearance. For man looks outwardly, but the Lord looks at the heart. We're having kingdom principles introduced to us here. We're having kingdom emphases given to us and how God's kingdom operates and how God's kingdom looks and how it works as opposed to how we think and how we operate, all of that. Everything about our study of 1 Samuel has been all about outward appearance and everything that we put our confidence in and everything that we trust in and everything that comes out of our hearts that is shown in outward appearance. And we don't look at things as God does. It's the whole message of this. But what are the consequences of this kind of rejection when they asked for a king like everyone else, and then they went and looked for a king outwardly? The whole thing has exposed one great, grand problem in Israel that we have not been able to get past, when in the very selection of Saul, it was exactly constructed as the golden calf event. We looked at that. It is the problem of idolatry. Saul, to them, was a sort of perfect deliverer. And in their selection of this deliverer came out their very idolatry. I want you to notice what happens here as the irony when Saul sees this. We read that when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were greatly dismayed and afraid. The first thing you stop to ponder, and the first thing you say when you read this narrative and you study this narrative, is whatever you are trusting in, whatever you have put your confidence in this life besides the Lord, God has a very strange way of turning that idol to make it absolutely powerless before the things that you fear the most. Let me say that again. God has a very profound and strategic and wise way of turning that idol that you're trusting in to make it absolutely powerless before the things that you fear the most. You can go down the line. You want to put your trust in great intellect? You'll always have a nemesis who's stronger in the mind than you. You want to put your trust in money? Someone will have more. You want to think of yourself as a great pastor, you apply this to me, a great preacher, you think you're a great preacher, there's always somebody better. Always. What is it about you that you pursue? Where is it that you find your confidence? Where is it that you turn to in times of your fears? What is it? There's always something else that rises up against it and that's greater. You want notoriety? Where is your reliance? What is your idol? Right there in your life, what you are trying to accomplish, what do you want? You'll find something else throwing it down. You'll find something else throwing it down all the time. And that's why you have fear in your life. I mean it. That's why anxiety comes. I'm not being simplistic with that. There are other reasons. But I am saying that in general, as Jesus described anxiety, at the root of every fear is some lingering idol. Because an idol is anything you're trusting in besides the Lord, and it's letting you down. See Israel panicked. See Israel fear. It's not paying out, is it? It's not paying out. Notice Goliath does this for 40 days. The Lord's giving you a little insight here, isn't he? That was always the period of testing in the Bible. That God had put their idol to the test. Could it stand before this man that the Lord had raised up? There's no doubt in my mind. They wanted a powerful deliverer who is not the Lord, who would ride out in front and who would deliver them, who was high, who was mighty, who was powerful like the other nations, and the other nations have a greater one. Here he is. It tells you how ridiculous this is. I mean, how did we ever, seriously, how did we ever get to the point of applying this to go fight the Goliaths in your life? Really? That has been the history of interpretation in this country on this text. You can go out, well, try it today. Go ahead, go pick up some pebbles and fling them at them. Let's see if it works. Take a slingshot. It just takes a few small stones. Really? Really? You think you can fight this? You think you can fight Goliath? God raised him up to be the most powerful figure ever that we know, humanly speaking. How did we ever get so narcissistic to make the Bible all about us? How did we do it? How did we accomplish it? The message here is that the Goliaths in our lives are the idols we have raised up before the Lord. That's the message. And God has raised up something even greater than the Goliath you raised up as an idol. to throw down your Goliath. That's the message. There's always something much greater than the idol you chose to break it to pieces in your life and to show how scared to death you are. Goliath spits and you're done, you see. Goliath spits on you and it's over. We're no better than Israel today. The church has a world of Goliaths coming at us right now. You ever figured why? You ever thought about it? As we have failed to trust the Lord, as we have failed to have confidence in His Word, as we have not been bold with the gospel, as we have been compromised, so all these Goliaths are out in the field right now shouting out a lot of pompous things at us, aren't they? Because we haven't trusted this Word. You can go right down the line. You want to make the church entertainment? I'll tell you what, there's a way better form of entertainment calling our people right down here called a stadium. That's a Goliath. What are we doing today in response to all the Goliaths? You want to compromise on basic morality in the church? Here's a Goliath kicking up dust. You will accept our positions on things. We defy you. What is the church? What is the church? You're done. Who is the God of the church? I defy Him. I defy Him. And what are we doing right now? We're scared to death. We look to presidents to deliver us. We are scared to death. We are afraid just as much of, as Saul and Israel was that day on the battlefield, of these figures hurling their insults of what they're going to do to us. And we look for answers in all the wrong places, just like Israel. Listen to me. There will always be a greater Goliath than what we have put our trust in. And that one will cast down that idol for us. That Goliath will cast down the idol for us. Saul was impotent. Main point, when it's not the Lord, you know, you should stop and ask in this narrative, has anyone ever stopped and asked, does anyone believe that Israel's God is greater than Goliath? Does anyone believe it? I defy the armies of the living God. And now the most surprising twist comes into the narrative, doesn't it? It's just all built up. It's all built up. Another figure arises. Another figure, another champion. And all of a sudden, now, we've already been introduced to him, but he gets a new introduction all over again, and it's David. What is absolutely remarkable about the presentation of David is there's nothing remarkable about it. It's meant to be read in direct contrast, set side by side to Goliath. And here he comes to this lowly house, and here is the youngest of all the sons of Jesse, and he's a shepherd boy. And one day, what is he? Jesse says to him, would you take some food over to your brothers who are fighting in the battle? I want you to take some grain and some bread and some cheeses. Huh? Contrast. Goliath is 9'6", covered in armor. David is a little ruddy youth carrying cheese. You look in life in all the wrong places for all your answers. I do.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.